We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Never too much butter, Keith.
That's what I've heard.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I'm not quite as adamant as Tom Curran was there in the cut you heard during the open. They're screwed. I'm not quite there. Because any football team that has Belichick and Brady probably almost starts with 10 wins by default, don't they?
I would say so. The AFC East also still has Ryan Fitzpatrick in it. It has Sam Darnold year two, Josh Allen year two. A bunch of coaches that I'm not sure about. I mean, year one for Brian Flores. We'll see what they got. The rest of the AFC, I really like Cleveland. But it's Freddie Kitchens as the head coach.
Don't know anything about him.
I don't really know anything about him. Could go a couple of ways. The Kansas City Chiefs may be without Tyreek Hill for a while. The Chargers, I don't know if they're going to be better than they were a year ago. So this hurts. I mean, this without a doubt hurts the Patriots. But it's also, it would have hurt more if it was coming off of the 2017 season where Gronk was over 1,000 yards. It was like this all pro tight end. You were used to an offense where you weren't relying on him for 10 touchdowns. I'm not saying he wasn't important because he was. He was a really good blocker and all of that. He still got a lot of attention from opposing defenses. He had a huge catch in the Super Bowl. But I don't think he was as important in their offense as he has been in previous years.
In the 9 years Gronk played, he got double digits in touchdowns four times.
Right.
And his five best touchdown seasons were 17, 12, 11, 11, and 8. Now, he is still...
Last year was what, three? I think it was three last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Three receiving touchdowns last year.
So, I think they're a little bit more prepared to replace him than they would have been had he left a couple of years ago.
You go back to 2016, where he only played in eight games. He had three that year.
Mm-hmm.
Had the bounce back year in 2017. He played in 14 games, had eight that year, three this past season. You know, he was not the same guy
in the last couple of years,
and we understood that.
Right.
And even not being the same guy, he still seemed like he was better than most that were out there.
Yeah, I mean, there's guys, as far as receiving tight ends, there was definitely a handful that passed him by, like George Kittle and Zach Ertz and Travis Kelce are better receiving tight ends than Gronk is right this second. But overall tight ends, there's not many guys better than him. But to put it in perspective, as good as he was, the big catch in the Super Bowl, he was pretty active in the Kansas City game, but they won a playoff game this past year where he had one catch. They threw to him once in the Chargers game. And they won that game, and they won the game. So I think they can do it. They still have Brady and Belichick, who, as good as Gronk is, and you can make a great case that Gronk is the second best player that has been a part of this dynasty. And I think,
I think
maybe Moss is, but Moss was only here for a short time. So
I mean, Gronk has been here for a short time, relatively speaking, but certainly more than
Way more than Moss. And Moss didn't win a Super Bowl. So if you're looking at the Super Bowl winners, Ty Law's a Hall of Famer. Seymour might be a Hall of Famer. There's been some great players, but Gronk's probably the second best guy. But let's be fair. I mean, this isn't like losing Tom Brady, because then what Tom Curran said about they're screwed.
They're screwed.
Well, they're very screwed. Like, forget it. Like, maybe root for another team. Like, it's time to move on. Like, they're not going to win again. But without Gronk, it's going to be tough, but it's still doable.
So the question here becomes, is it the beginning of the end? Which is what I said last hour. I don't mean this year.
It's not
but
the end.
The beginning of that process
yeah.
where we knew it was coming soon. I mean... Brady is 41 years old. It's not like, in a best-case scenario, you think you got 4 years left of him, and I don't think you're going to get four, but that's a best-case scenario.
Yeah, and I also think you found, is a sort of another part of the beginning of the end, is you lost defensive coordinators in back-to-back years, and usually they do a nice job of finding a replacement, and then that guy kind of takes over for a little while. And the Gronk news is obviously more impactful, and it's the bigger splash, but I think Brian Flores, you found something pretty good there as your defensive guy. Now he's out, and instead of hiring from within, all those guys are gone. You lost a bunch of coaches. And now you're bringing in Greg Schiano. I think we'll see what happens with that addition. But yeah, you lose Gronk, you lose one of your best players from this team. That has to be the beginning. But it's hard still to bet against Brady and Belichick and for what they're capable of.
It is not the same as the on-field blow that the Patriots are going to suffer here. But off-field, there might not have been anybody in that organization who was as involved with the community, who as much good. Most of the time, you didn't even know about it. You certainly, usually almost never heard about it from Gronk. You heard about it from the people who he visited, who said, hey, look who showed up to see my child in the hospital today.
You see people tweeting out pictures and stuff of who's there. Oh, yeah. I mean, they definitely lost the guy who seemed like, for what so many people want professional athletes to be, like, they're not all that way. And honestly, I don't think they have to be. But for what a lot of people sort of envision, like these guys that are willing to spend a lot of their time, and he was involved in so many charities and all this stuff, which was great. And you could see why he was a fan favorite, because it wasn't just strictly on the field stuff. It was off the field stuff. And the teammates are going to miss him too. Like, if you care about locker room chemistry, and you know, we've been talking a lot about how the Bruins and Red Sox have it, the Celtics don't. Well, Gronk's obviously a big part of that locker room too. I mean, you could see maybe the most popular guy on the team, you know, I think amongst his teammates.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. As Rich mentioned last hour, had this bomb not been dropped on us yesterday afternoon, we probably would have at some point early on in the proceedings talked about the apology that Robert Kraft submitted over the weekend. And the owner's meetings technically began yesterday with arrivals. Today's the first day of actual meetings. I don't believe you'll see Robert Kraft speak. I'll be surprised if you see him speak. When I read the release, when I read the apology, first of all, I thought, this might have helped like 3 weeks ago. It might have.
Yeah, you know, where's it been?
And second of all, it left me a little flat because he didn't really acknowledge what he was apologizing for.
Yeah, like he did something, apologizing, I wasn't really wild about it either. I didn't think it was great. I thought that the timing, if it was going to be as vague as it was, you could have done it earlier, right? And it's just, and I also, I mean, I have no idea what the situation is like. You know, it's hard to put yourself in his shoes, obviously. But I thought it was odd kind of bringing up Myra, too. You know, for what it is, for what you're apologizing for, and then to jump in there with, you know, your partner of 50 years, I was like, I don't know. It didn't really fit for me.
I mean, I thought that the Bob Holler Globe piece was a bit of a hatchet job.
Well, it was.
I think that, you know, how low can you go when you're talking about, you know, how disappointed his father and his grandfather must be, both deceased and not with us. You know, the Dan Shaughnessy thing was just a continuation of what Dan Shaughnessy does. He likes to poke and prod at the Patriots and ownership at every turn, and this gives him all of the ammunition he needs. But the Holler piece in particular, I thought, man.
Yeah, I mean, not surprising, though, right?
No.
Like as soon as you saw it and you went to read it, it was like, okay, here we go. But yeah, I mean, on Robert's statement, it was just one of those things where, so he says, I'm truly sorry. I know I've hurt and disappointed family, friends, coworkers, fans, and all of this. But then you're like, all right, so what are we doing here? And then, you know, throughout my life, I've always tried to do the right thing. The last thing I'd ever want to do is disrespect another human being. You're like, okay, all right. And then it's like, and moving forward, I'm going to use my platform better. You're like, did we miss a paragraph? Like, you know, it kind of was flat, like you said. Now, it's something. We haven't heard a thing from him on this subject. There was the one statement that came out the day of from a spokesman, which is like two or three lines, and denied any illegal activity. This still just is sort of like a glossed over apology.
He says, I'm truly sorry. I know I have hurt and disappointed, as you said, my family, my close friends, my coworkers, our fans, and many others who rightfully hold me to a higher standard. Is he sorry for the act, or
is he
sorry for disappointing all those people?
Probably for being caught, like when most
that's
people,
what it feels
when
like,
most
doesn't
people
it?
Apologize. Yeah, that's what I think.
Now, the question in my mind was, did he feel he had to do this because of the meetings? Because he was going to Arizona, and he was going to the owners' meetings. And what, if anything, I'd be a little nervous about if I were Robert Kraft and his family right now. If Schefter's correct that Roger Goodell will not decide the discipline for Robert Kraft, but his fellow owners will, that might be worse.
Yeah, that could be worse. Although the owners, it's a weird spot for them because do you think they have clean closets necessarily, all these owners?
No,
and
no.
So you got to be kind of careful how adamant you want to be.
I mean, some might, but all hell no.
Yeah, so you might want to be
not
careful.
As long as Jerry Jones still owns a team
correct.
In this league.
And so if you really raise the bar in punishments, then when it comes back on to you, I think you can't all of a sudden penalize that next person much less, right? So I think they're kind of going to be setting a bar here. So maybe it won't be as bad. Plus, as much as all of these other owners, for the most part, hate the Patriots, there's nothing you can do that'll penalize the team on the field. If it was up to them, they would say, the draft picks.
Yeah, like, they can't take away draft picks.
You can't do it.
They can't suspend players. They can suspend the owner.
So maybe
they can fine him.
Maybe it won't be that crazy then. Maybe they'll sort of take the Jim Irsay baseline and then up that a little bit to say, hey, see, we're taking these matters seriously, and then they'll kind of move on from it.
When I go to the statement at all, why did he do the statement at all? I was left with, you probably can't say what you want to say because your arraignment is Thursday.
Well, he says like because of the judicial process,
he said because of that I haven't spoken.
Right, but he still
doesn't
say anything.
But now I am speaking.
I think you hit on it. It's more Patriots 101 where if they have something that they know everybody's going to address, they put a statement out and then they can point back to the statement.
I already referred
it happened
to that.
With I think Josh Gordon.
Yep.
It happened to a much more extreme with like Aaron Hernandez. Like there's all these different examples of times where there's been a big story and you can't wait to ask him about it and say Belichick would either say I've already talked about it or I'm pretty sure we released a statement. The Donald Trump kneeling stuff. Like,
yes.
Remember we already put a statement out. Like okay. Like can we talk about the statement? Nope. That's the statement. And so Robert Kraft, when he does get asked about it, he can say, I've had a statement. Now, maybe he'll expand on it a little bit, but I doubt it. I bet he's going to just point back to the statement.
I think the coach's breakfast is Tuesday, right?
Oh, it might be. Bill with his orange juice?
Well, if he shows up.
That's always good, yeah.
Because when they do the whole coach's team photo, he doesn't participate.
But it's also for him, too, like the statement. Bill, what do you think about that?
Already said something about that.
They've done this before.
And, you may have hit on it. While I'm not sure I don't think you'll see Robert Kraft speak, if Bill Belichick is going to be sitting there at that table with his orange juice,
yeah.
The questions are going to come.
Right.
And he can, as you point out, just simply say, I believe that, Robert's
right.
put out a
of
statement.
Course.
I have nothing to add to that. Now, he'll get three or four more questions. He'll answer them the exact same way.
Yeah.
And then eventually you give up, right?
At least now he'll get a few Gronk questions, too. At least that somebody will jump in there. There's another major news break here for the team.
See, it's not that he was not very specific because of the arraignment. It's, okay, then why are you doing anything? Can't say what you want to say because of the arraignment Thursday, why are you saying anything? And I think you may have hit
Belichick.
Upon it.
Whoever has to talk. Next. Yeah, they can just point to the statement. Oh, I'm pretty sure they released a statement. You guys can get a copy of that.
Hold on, we'll get you a copy.
Yeah, great.
Stacy?
Thank you.
Where are you, Stacy?
Oh, yeah, there it is. Great. This says nothing.
617-779-7937. Rob Ninkovich will join us at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. It's time for a Rich Keefe Twitter poll anytime real soon here. About
what do you got?
Whether they're goosed or porked.
Oh, the Pats?
Yeah, the goosed or porked
poll.
Something
to think about.
Something you might want to stick out there for all to enjoy. 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WE.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
EI.
Non-stop, wall-to-wall coverage of the Patriots. We're back with Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Kirby, you keep talking about being ready for the playoffs. You're very focused on that. The way this team has a habit of blowing leads, can you fix that problem by the time the playoffs come around?
Well, we have guys that were not in the lineup right now, so that would also help. So judge us when we have our full lineup. But obviously, when we come out and play like this with a bunch of young guys down the stretch figuring things out, things are bound to happen, but there's no excuse.
It's a little hard to figure out exactly what he was saying.
Oh, my God.
There.
So, hey, we...
They're, like, finding new and unique ways to cough up leads and lose games, aren't they?
They sure are. So much for that flight out to the Bay Area, which cured everything. Remember the 6.5-hour flight? They solved everything.
Maybe they need to make another one.
They need another flight.
So that they need another long flight. With, like, 8.5 left, they proceed to give up a 30-5 run.
Yeah.
To kick away a lead and lose
a game. That's right. You're up 18 with 8.5 or whatever left against Charlotte. And then you lose the game. And Kyrie... So now he's saying, in that cut alone, there's a lot from his post game on Saturday night. And then, oh, by the way, they also lose to the Spurs. They can't stop LaMarcus Aldridge on Sunday. But he's saying now, we also were missing guys, so you can't really judge us when you're missing guys. When has the whole team been there? And by the way, when the whole team is there, your record's not that great either.
Right.
So he's like, you can't judge us on that. So everybody's going to get healthy. There's only 8 games left in the regular season. There's probably a pretty good chance that somebody's not healthy come playoff time. He's like, oh, just wait for us there. So do you have when he's talking about, so Kemba Walker had a great game. And oh, by the way, Kyrie Irving for the first 3 quarters was probably the best player on the court. His fourth quarter, he was just as much a part of the problem in the fourth quarter as everybody else. I think he was 1 of 5 shooting. He had 4 missed threes. He had a bad turnover at one point really late in the game. So here's Kyrie talking about, when Kemba Walker gets going.
When Kemba gets it going like that, how tough is he to stop?
It's 1-on-1. Mm-hmm. I have pride. Down the stretch, try to come in and help as much as possible. Should probably trap him a little bit more like every other team does in the league. But we do. Torches us every time we play. It's no surprise.
Now, I took that as a shot at his coach.
You think? You're absolutely right. That's a shot at his coach. We probably should have trapped him more like every other team in the league. I mean, he's had a bunch of these where it's kind of these like little swipes at Brad. It's not as blatant as the ones with Jaylen Brown in the past or where he's like, hey, young guys this, young guys this. But the stuff with Stevens, I would question, is his relationship with Brad Stevens worse than it is with Jaylen Brown or worse than it is with Terry Rozier?
Haven't we been wondering about the whole Stevens-Kyrie relationship anyway? There is less and less doubt in my mind that he's going.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's gone. He's going to be on the Knicks. He's going to be wherever else. He's going to be gone.
Wherever it is, it won't be here.
I don't think it's going to be here. I agree with you on that. And I just think for him to say, oh, he's like, oh, no surprise. Kemba goes off all the time. It's like, well, you're guarding him some of the time. Like, don't you want to look at yourself a little bit?
Should probably trap him a little bit more like every other team does in the league.
Like every other team does in the league. I mean, that is a direct shot at Brad. I remember a few weeks ago when they lost to the Clippers. And Kyrie was talking, they were asking him about, the Clippers are a surprise team. You look at their roster and yet they're a playoff team. And he had this whole comment about how easy it is to play for a coach who played in the league. And he was referring to Doc Rivers.
Yes.
And I was like on the one hand, that's obviously a compliment to Doc and he must respect Doc. But that is kind of an out of the way jab at Brad Stevens. And so he has had a few of these. Obviously, he was irate when he didn't get the ball against Orlando going back several weeks or a month or whatever ago. But then this was before they lost to San Antonio. So they've now lost 4 straight games after they went 3-1 on that Western road trip. And everybody's like, oh, how great it is. They come home.
I did some coaching on the plane myself. I helped Brad. I helped Coach Stevens with some coaching. But
yeah, he solved that. So they're on a plane.
Afraid to do some more coaching then if you think that'll help.
And also, you remember Kyrie Irving. What day was it where he was saying, oh, I'm going to take some games off? There was like 12 games to go.
It was last Thursday.
So it was prior to the Philly game or right after the Philly game? Right after the Philly game is what you're saying. But so he's played in every game since. Now, I know he left the game yesterday because he had like his fingernails kind of gross, ripped off. But he played in that game. So is he not going to play tomorrow? I don't know if they've announced that yet. But they have 8 games left. They have 2 against Indiana, and they are currently 2 games behind the Pacers for the 4th seed and home court in the first round.
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs. It just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games.
Makes no sense to put emphasis on the regular season because, come playoff time, they'll be fine. Once they get healthy, Dale, once they double-team Kemba Walker.
Be all different then.
But, yeah, he does not like Brad Stevens. I don't know how you can – there's no chance.
My guess is Brad Stevens doesn't like him a whole lot either.
He probably doesn't.
But now, he'll never say that. Don't you get the feeling that there are those within the organization who find Kyrie Irving to be a big, giant pain in the ass right now?
Yeah, they all do. I bet every single person does – but they also know how great he is. And it's the same kind of position you end up being as a fan, because...
But we've had this argument in the past about, you know, great, talented players, how much you're willing to put up with, is it worth it in the long run? Because right now, I wonder.
No, I mean, I still think, specifically in the NBA compared to the other sports, you kind of have to put up with that. Like, I think Kevin Durant is a pill, but Golden State's won back-to-back titles. They're probably going to win their third straight. So you kind of put up with that. You know how I feel about LeBron, and look at all the, you know, he's won three titles. So you kind of have to put up with that. Like, you go back to, and I know last week when Denver was in town, we were talking about Isaiah Thomas a lot. That team was a lot easier to embrace, but I still feel like there was an absolute limit on their ceiling. Like, this is it. You have a fun team. They all love each other. It's easy to root for, but they're not going to win. Kyrie at least gives you sort of that puncher's chance because he is a superstar. He's on another level. And he's just been so frustrating because the rest of the team, I think, it's one thing if the fans don't really like him, but the rest of the team doesn't seem to be liking him very much. And he's just right now, he's putting all the pressure on himself come playoff time, because all these losses in the regular season, he just chalks up to it's the regular season. It's come playoff time, you know, we're going to have to see something a lot different.
I guess the silver lining, if you're looking for one, is that theoretically, if they played Indiana in the first round, Indiana doesn't have Oladipo. You know, you get some advantage there.
Right. But not if you're on the road.
And that's the thing.
This team has not been very good on the road at all. I mean, they have a losing record on the road. Indiana, I assume they've been playing without Oladipo for a while. So I thought they were going to really drop off, and they haven't. So that could be a first-round series where they get bounced. And then why would Kyrie stick around from there? Like, Kyrie's going to be gone. And I guess
he really doesn't hide his disgust on the court very, very well, does he?
No, occasionally. Well, neither does most of the guys on the team. Tatum's always complaining.
It's like, you know, I used to say Dan Marino he never threw a bad pass in his entire career.
Right.
Every time a pass was missed, he's, move there, get there. Yeah, it's like, of course, you were in the wrong place.
Right.
I get the sense with Kyrie, too, that he's always doing the exact right thing.
Oh, of course.
And that his teammates are screwing it up. They're not doing the right things.
And that's why, you know, the Charlotte game in particular, that's the game where they had the big lead. And you see the kind of performance that he has. He finished with 31 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. You're like, well, it couldn't have been his fault. I think that's how he feels, too. And it's not his fault that they lost. But the point is, he's putting it on Stevens for coaching. He's putting it on the health of the team. They took their foot off the gas. But what about you going 1 of 5 and just settling for threes the whole fourth quarter? Mm-hmm. And what about your terrible turnover at the end of the game? Like, he doesn't put any of that out there. Like, it's never his fault when they lose.
He looked so mad at Terry Rozier.
Oh, yeah.
Where Rozier, you know, goes down the lane, and then he comes back out. He chucks up this off-balance three from outside the arc, and the look on Kyrie's face.
Oh, yeah, he's disgusted, because he never does anything wrong. Like, I'm telling you, it was a great example going back a few weeks. I think we talked about it on the show, but it was that time that Jaylen Brown went in, and it was a charging call. And so it was a turnover. He should have passed it to Smart. Smart gets on him. They all get on him. They're all yelling at Jaylen Brown for turning it over. Like, the next night, Kyrie Irving tried, like, this outrageous lead pass and threw the ball out of bounds, and he just gives it, like, a, my bad. Like, he just, like, pats himself, my bad, and they all just go back to playing. So it was like, Kyrie can turn it over, and it's no big deal, but God forbid somebody else turn the ball over, and then you're an idiot, and what are you doing? But, yeah, there's a chance that this, I mean, right now, isn't it more likely that they lose in the first round than that they get back to where they were the last 2 years with less talent?
I know Kyrie thinks that there's some button that can be pushed back in the dressing room somewhere, and
all of
a sudden they hit the playoffs and they take off like a rocket. It doesn't feel that way to me.
Rossi, you have a different theory, though. You think they're going to
win the NBA championship.
He dropped that on us this morning in the office.
What is wrong with you?
Win the NBA title, he said.
Yeah.
This is exactly what it's going to take. They're all at odds. Then when it comes to the push come to shove, the star players like Kyrie, Gordon Hayward, they're all going to shine. They're going to come together. They're going to let him lead. Right now, I don't think they want to be behind his leadership. But when it comes to the postseason,
they're going to snap. They're going to
just say, go do your thing. Go win us a championship. Like, don't you think that's what Kyrie did
with
LeBron?
I think he needs some help, though. No, I don't. I think Kyrie, if it wasn't for Kyrie playing as well as he did, they don't win a championship.
But don't you think he resented LeBron James, but then when it came down to like playoffs and like crucial time, he's like, I'll follow your lead.
Yeah, but LeBron's also a little bit different. LeBron's the best player, was especially for those years. I don't know if he's the best player anymore, but he was the best player in the league. Kyrie's great, but he's not the best player. I don't think he has the same impact on a game.
You don't think these guys look at him as when it comes to this team?
I mean, he's the superstar of this team, but he's not LeBron. No way.
Where is he on the Rich Keefe hate scale when it comes to LeBron's the top?
Kyrie?
Kyrie getting probably, silver medal?
Probably third. No, Durant really irks me. Durant rubs me the wrong way.
January Kyrie's 17th, on the podium. Kyrie lost you.
Yeah, January 17th.
You can mark it back.
It's been 2 months and a week, and he just completely lost me. And I feel like more and more people have been diving off of the Kyrie bandwagon, which was full. A year ago, it was packed. People are having a great time. And now, this year, not so much.
Kyrie had some more comments that will probably lead to more people diving off the bandwagon after yesterday's loss.
Let's hear it.
Winning's hard, man. Like, winning's hard. Team environments are hard. Like, you know, it's not as simple as just, you know, listening to everybody else speak about what's going on with the team. And, you know, it's hard being a professional athlete, being in a team environment, and wanting to accomplish something very great. You know, everyone always going to say, oh, they need to do this, they need to do that. Nobody knows. Nobody's been in my position. Nobody here. So I don't expect anybody to understand that. Everybody could just speak on it, you know, and just give their opinion about what would be best for it. But, you know, for me, my focus is figuring out, you know, the guys I have in this locker room, how to get the best out of them and them to get the best out of me. So it's been hard, but it's a challenge worth fighting for because the end result is standing on that stage.
Nobody knows. He says stuff like that.
Yes.
And I want him gone.
Dale, how many championships have you won? You can't question him.
Nobody
you can't
knows.
Talk
Nobody
about
knows.
The team. Nobody yeah. knows. No, do you know how hard it is to be a professional athlete? We all feel so poorly.
Like
we
everybody else who's so out bad. There. Coaching staff, ownership, yeah. general manager, players, nope. trainers. All of them
yeah.
are there just to make sure he has Correct. What he needs to get the job done.
Nobody's been in the position that I've been in.
Oh, my God. God.
I don't know, man. There's 30 teams in the NBA. There's a lot of guys, and there's been a lot of seasons in the NBA. I think a lot of people have been in the exact same position
now, see,
as you.
This goes back to an argument we've had before about, you know, Bill Parcells once said to me, I'm too old to have to coach jerks.
Yeah.
I mean, Brad Stevens isn't too old, but he's got to be sitting there saying, what do I do with that?
I bet he has aged more this year than any other year.
I mean, what if you're Brad?
Yeah. What do you do with that?
What do I do with that?
I don't know. You talk to Danny and say, what is the plan here? And then guess what? They say, well, it's the NBA, so it's up to the player. The player is either going to leave you at the end of the year or he's going to stay because they'll offer him a contract.
You're as big an NBA fan as I know. That element,
yeah,
which you are exactly yeah. right.
Right.
That's got to be such a pain in the rear end.
Yeah. No, it is.
Oh, it doesn't matter. If the player's a jerk, he's a jerk. Hey, what are you going to do? You got to let him be a jerk.
And that's why, again, it always goes back to winning. And when they're winning, when they went 3-0 to start their Western road trip, Golden State, Sacramento, and the Lakers, was Kyrie less of a jerk? No. It was still in him. It's still
that
the same guy.
Sounded like less of a jerk.
Some of his comments, I mean, day to day, his comments, because he's been all over the place this year. But that's still in him. That's who he is. And then all it takes is a couple of losses, and then you get questioned about it. Now, all of a sudden, well, nobody's been in this position. Do you know how hard it is to accomplish something great? It's like, all right, maybe we're overstating things a little bit here.
We've talked about chemistry in the past, and I understand that in professional sports, biology trumps chemistry. You got to be good. You've got to have talent. Right. I understand that. But don't you think chemistry helps if you've got a talented team? We think they've got a very talented team.
It clearly
with
helps.
Zero chemistry.
Right. It absolutely helps. Like, there can be times where you're just so over the top talented that it may not matter. Like
Golden State.
Golden State did, and even Cleveland. Like if Kyrie was having problems that we found out later, he was having issues with LeBron. LeBron was always, you know, subtweeting Kevin Love. I think he had problems with them, and yet they still put it together for a championship. But it obviously helps. And especially when you look at the Eastern Conference this year, you say, well, Milwaukee's even better than we thought they'd be. Kawhi Leonard is invested, so Toronto is good. Philly's actually putting something together with that new starting lineup that they have. And then so you kind of need something else. Like, you're not going to be able to just win it strictly on talent alone. Your talent's good, but it's not otherworldly. So they need to figure out. But I don't even think that's a thing anymore. Like, they've played 74 games.
So yeah, they don't like each other, and they haven't liked each other all year.
Yeah, there is no figure it out. There is no, we gotta do this. Like, some of the comments that Kyrie or Marcus Morris or Jaylen Brown have had, even Brad Stevens at times, this is kind of the team. And you just need to hope that you're knocking down your threes. Like, they've turned into one of these, like, Cinderella college teams to me. If they show up and are knocking down threes, then they'll win. But if not, if things start to go poorly for them, then it's over. And guess what? The way they're also playing, if they have a big lead, that doesn't mean anything either. It doesn't mean a thing.
They're like 4-5 in the last number of games where they've had a lead in the fourth.
And also, they are 17-19 on the road this year, and that includes bad teams on the road. So to expect, if they are the 5 seed, they have to win at least one game in Indiana. I don't love their chances of that either. It's just, I can't think of anything really like it. I know people have brought up the chicken and beer Red Sox. And on the one hand, I sort of get the analogy, but it's so different because last year, you take your best player and wherever you want to rank Hayward, your 5th best player, you take them off, you make it to the conference finals, you add them, the expectation is you win the whole thing, and right now, or you win the East anyway, and now you're the 5th best team in the conference. I don't think there's anything like that because of the injuries and then bringing everybody back. Like, this team is unlike anything else.
I read over the weekend, and I wish I could tell you who it was, and I apologize, but somebody wrote, this is the most disappointing team in the NBA this year.
100% agreed. Because the Lakers, I think going into the year,
You didn't think the Lakers were very good. You thought they had a great player, but you didn't think they were good.
I thought he'd be good enough to get them the 6th, 7th, or 8th seed. I thought they'd be in, but so for them not making it, it's not really the end of the world. But for the Celtics, their expectation, I thought they'd win 60 games. I thought for sure they'd win 60 games. If they win out, they'll win, 51? If they win out.
And I'm going to suggest that might not be a real good chance.
So they're not going to win 50 games.
Keith, that was your over-under.
60 on the nose?
No, 50.
What do you mean 50?
With the Celtics.
I said 60.
You said 60 in the beginning? I have a clip.
Yes. You have a clip?
Well, I had a
clip. Let's play the clip. Hey, I brought a clip. Here's the clip.
I don't have it on me.
Go to the clip. You don't have it on you?
Hey, it's Rich Keefe. I said the over-under is 50.
No, 60. But 50 wins for this team?
I'll get it.
Oh, later in the year, you mean? I'm talking about preseason, like before the year started, October. I said they'd win 60 games. That's not outrageous. 60-22. The KG team won 66 their first year, so it's not outrageous. In the Eastern Conference, I didn't think was going to be that good, but they right now aren't gonna hit.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
50. That's terrible.
They are a complete disappointment.
Yeah.
With virtually, I won't say no chance to turn it around. If they turned it around and ended up in an NBA Finals, that would be turned around. But it sure doesn't feel like that's even an option.
No, because even if they beat Indiana, like, where they're going to go beat Milwaukee? Like, I don't see that. Especially with 4 games for Milwaukee. I mean, last year, home court was so important to this team. I mean, they probably don't get out of the first round if they didn't have it. But guess what? They did because the regular season mattered to them. Like, this team, the regular season should matter because every game you get at home is one step closer to making it to the next round.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Rob Ninkovich will join us about 15 minutes from now, somewhere in that ballpark. We'll talk to him about the Rob Gronkowski retirement, whether he was surprised or not. We'll get to Rob just after the top of the hour. We'll get back to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale.
It is a perfect, gigantic bucket of suck.
And Keith.
Have a little respect for yourself.
WEEI on WEEI.
How challenging does it get the deeper you get into the season to keep that patient mindset?
It's not hard. I mean, I'm used to gearing up for, something bigger than myself around this time. What it takes, and I have to do a better job of communicating that to my teammates, being a better listener, and figuring out how to best to communicate with those guys. That point is, at this point of the season, it's, I'm on the VersaClimber, I'm on the treadmill, I'm, getting ready to play, 40 plus minutes and get ready for wars and battles. The end of the season is just, it's just practice time. Feel right about your jump shot, feel right about the team, and kind of an ice stage for us. Usually an ice stage, but you know, for us, we're still developing as a team. It's been a whole season doing so. You know, but there's light at the end of all this, and that's probably where my patience will always lie, is knowing that something's beyond this. This challenge is happening for a reason, and I got to believe in that.
Wow. Oh my God.
There's a lot in there.
He's wearing me out.
Yeah. Somebody should have done a Kyrie Irving quote of the day calendar. And so for 2019 or 20, every day you rip one off and you get a new one. Like he's doing this for something bigger than him right now. He's in the ice period. Was that an ice stage? Like Winterfell? What is he talking about there? He kind of goes in and out too, where he's like kind of answering somebody's question, then he's like got his own stuff that he just wanted to bring to the table. Then
he's like about the team, and kind of an ice stage for us.
They're in the ice stage. I wish it would snap out of it. They've
winter
lost
is
four
coming.
In a row.
Is that what he's trying to tell us?
That's what he's worried about. The ice stage.
Is that like a chrysalis, like a cocoon? Maybe
it could be. Yeah, it could be. He's trying to heal up.
Preparing to be a butterfly?
He's preparing for 40 minutes. He never plays 40 minutes. Yeah, talking about?
If he's wearing me out, can you imagine what his teammates and what his coaching staff thinks when they hear this guy every day?
Well, let's actually hear from Brad Stevens. This was after yesterday's game, so it's now a four-game losing streak, and Brad was asked about all of the responsibility that Kyrie has.
I think at the end of the day, he's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. He feels that. And we believe in him, and you know, there's days like that. There's nights like that. He played a lot of minutes last night. If we would have been better in the fourth quarter, maybe he wouldn't have had to play a lot of minutes last night. But we didn't do every little thing that we needed to do, and as a result, that all adds up to.
The guy sounds like he's lost 40 in a row, not four in a row.
Well, he probably feels like he's.
We believe in him. Don't do you? You believe in him?
Does it feel that way, Brad?
No, it doesn't. I don't really get that sense, but we believe in him. Did anybody ask him? Because I missed some of the post game on Saturday. I don't know if you even know the answer. Not that we have the sound roster, but did anybody ask him? Actually, you know what? Stevens talks before the players do. But they're like, Kyrie basically said you guys defended Kemba wrong.
What do you think of that? You got out-coached.
Yeah, that's what it seems
like. It feels like.
And he said every other team in the league traps Kemba. So no surprise that he had a great game. And that is a direct shot at Brad Stevens. And then Brad has to do the thing where he says, hey, Kyrie's got a lot of responsibility and we believe in him. Like, yikes. It's just, it's worse than you could have anticipated. It's much worse than you would have thought. Because I think, Dale, you said at the beginning of the year, they might get off
to the first 13 on the road.
These guys not liking each other was not one of the things I thought of going into the year. I thought, okay, I could understand there being a Hayward-Brown-Tatum situation as far as shots are concerned. I could see that going on. But Kyrie's role and his sort of issues with the coach, issues with the players on the team, I definitely didn't anticipate that. That seemed like a shocker to me. Because, Rossi, you said I had a... I predicted they would win how many games? You were looking it up?
You started off with 60, and then when they started to really crap the bed in December, you went 50. Is this team going to be able to win 50? And we were like, oh, it's over still. Over.
Okay. Because I was going to say, there's no way I said 50 at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, they're not going to win 50. It's wild to think that. Like, you look at the talent that they've had or not had over the last recent years, and they've been so much better than that. It's crazy. I mean, the last 2 years, this has been an Eastern Conference Finals team. And now you actually put some more talent around them, and it's like, nope.
So you've got two winter sports teams getting ready, gearing up for the playoffs, both obviously in the playoffs. And you feel totally differently about the two teams.
Yeah, it's not even close. Night and day.
Both in terms of how they're playing. And obviously, one team's kind of on a roll and got things going. They seem to like each other. They stick up for each other.
Right. They're getting healthy.
They're getting healthier by the minute, it
feels
like.
Meanwhile, the Celtics, everybody's dealing with
something. I think Marcus Johansson may be playing tonight.
Right.
Just to add to that, you got the other team that feels like they're sort of stumbling and bumbling into the playoffs. They don't seem to like each other at all.
No, they don't like each other, and everybody's getting hurt, or they're all dealing with these different injuries. And, you got guys missing games, whether it's Horford or Tatum or Baines or whatever. Kyrie wants to sit some of these games out. Plus, the expectations were different, going into each season. The Bruins, you knew were a playoff team, but you were saying, all right, are they a cup contender? You didn't really get that feeling until maybe midway through the season, and knowing that they have a huge obstacle in Tampa, who they play tonight, by the way, but you have them waiting for you in the second round. But no, it's completely different. And a lot of it has to do with, I think, the sort of the relationships on the team and also the buy-in. Like, I get the sense that the Bruins respect their coach. I don't necessarily
get that. Not only respect him, but seem to like him.
They like playing for him, and when he tells them to do something, they do it, and they're okay with it. They don't question him every single post game when they lose. Different story with the Celtics.
And by the way, the Bruins have a couple of superstars.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, you know, like Kyrie's a superstar in the NBA. Yeah. I understand that.
Right.
Bruins have got a couple of those guys.
Right. And just, I mean, that couldn't be more polar opposite as far as Patrice Bergeron to Dan O'Chara. Their leadership,
Brad Marchand,
those guys. Yeah, but like, just if you're a young
the
player,
guys.
Yeah, if you're a young player, and I'm sure they look up to Marchand too. But if you're a young guy, and you respect the hell out of those guys for the careers that they've had and they're currently having, and you're gonna want to prove yourself to them. And then meanwhile, Kyrie, you're butting heads with him all the time, and you're saying, "This guy, you kidding me? What did he say about us?" Like, that's gonna drive you nuts.
So Dan O'Chara takes a pay cut to come back for next year.
Yeah.
Takes a pay cut
because
they've got to get contracts done with Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, and Zdeno Chara knows that, so he takes less than he took this year to come back for next year, freeing up money so that Don Sweeney can go do his job and get important guys re-signed.
Yeah, that's a great deal.
I'm going to picture that great not deal. A lot of guys in the NBA take pay cuts so that they can get other guys signed.
Boogie Cousins.
Maybe him.
just my guy Boogie. Yeah, Kyrie's not doing that.
You've got two teams just diametrically opposed to each other.
And what's crazy is there's a decent chance they both get bounced in the second round.
Yes.
Right? Like, just because of how it's
set
up. In
the Bruins' case, if it happens, and it's entirely possible, it's because they're going to be playing the Golden State Warriors of the NHL.
Right. In the second round. And they have home ice. Whereas the Celtics right now, I mean, we'll see what it looks like the last couple of games of the season. I still think, as crazy as it sounds, that I would probably take them today to beat Indiana. I wouldn't feel great about it, but I would just hope that talent emerges, they hit threes, whatever else. But going any further than that seems like an absolute long shot right now.
Now, there's a texter who says that it's all about winning. If the Bruins were not winning, it would be different. When the Bruins weren't winning, and they had a stretch there where they had a bunch of guys hurt, this was before Christmas time.
Yeah, they
were missing like five of their top defensemen.
They weren't turning on each other.
They never turned on each other.
No.
And I understand that talent is more important than chemistry.
And winning is the most important thing. We got it. Everybody always feels better when you're winning. I got it. But it's after, you know, a loss or two. Like, that's what you want to see. Like, how do those teams? And that's why even another conversation as we get closer to the Red Sox, they didn't really have a lot of adversity last year. Would they lose three in a row once or something insane? So if they ever face that, it'll be interesting to see how do they respond to it, whereas the Celtics seem to have to do it every other week.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. First, we'll talk to Rob Ninkovich, get his thoughts on the retirement of Rob Gronkowski. Then we'll get back to the calls with you on the other side. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.